sometimes people ask that zikr is the main thing, then why does the Quran Sharif say وَاسْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. First zikr and then tabattul. Tabattul means sab se hat kar khuda ki taraf ji lagana. So to move away from everything and turn your mind entirely to Allah Ta'ala. The reason is obvious. Reason is this, that you have to come to that level of tabattul. But to come to that level of tabattul, there must be a starting point. So tabattul is the higher level of zikr. Because man, as he stands, is attached to a lot of things. But the Nabi says, Azlul awazil hawla qalbi ta'i hawal ahibba minhu fi sawda'i. So what he's saying, in a nutshell, the explanation, right? That my heart has got a lot of attachments. This thing here, that thing, third thing, fourth thing. So it's natural when you come to this world, you must be attached to something or the other. In your infancy, to your parents, to your siblings, to your friends, immediate family, extended family. So there must be an attachment to your work, to some addiction, to some favorite of yours. There must be an attachment. But he says, حَوْلَ قَلْبِ الطَّائِ. So those attachments are, this is the heart, so it's around. So that is for the attachments. But وَهَوَ الْأَحِبَّ مِنْهُ فِي صَوْدَائِ. But the real love is in the recess. There is no partnership. It's not just an attachment. It is total consumption, consumed. So this is an attachment, and this is being totally consumed. Like how you say, obsessed, obsessed, consumed, right? So, the plan is this, that at the beginning, you will feel attached, right? Attached to this, and the second, and the third. So that attachment is required. Why is required? If there was no attachment, then will you fulfill rights? Now there's an attachment, there is some sentimental relationship, emotional values. So because of the emotions, sentiments, and you want to show some love, you want to show some type of an attachment. خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So some mufassirin say that جعل لكم من أزواج خلق لكم من أزواجكم then وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. So Allah has made مودة and رحمت between the spouses. مودة is love, رحمة is kindness, right? So he says, now as you just get into the marriage, then that first initial level of marriage is love, right? In that love now, there's a lot of novelty, experimenting the hills, the valleys, the lakes, the seas, the oceans. It's a lot of time to experiment all that, right? So that's mawadda. So that's the first phase of marriage. But then obviously, with the passage of time, then all those contours don't remain the same. You don't get the same shape, you don't get the same finish, you don't get that complexion, with all the makeup, you don't find it, right? And initially Allah created that type of a shape, figure, that you get attracted. And that attraction brings about the love. So that was in the initial phase. But the design of Allah Ta'ala, Sunna Allahi alladhi atqana kulla shay, is perfect. Right? So Allah Pak's plan is that you must elevate all the time. Don't get stuck into these things. See, where he speaks about hayz, etc. Nisa'ukum harsul lakum. And then fa'tu harsakum anna shaytum. But then, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنْفُسِكُمْ. Right? So, there's a need, we know there's a need. But then, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنْفُسِكُمْ. Don't get lost and don't get totally drowned into this. Send something for yourself. Get drowned into this. See? Then, a man gets lost because of getting drowned. Sometimes in wealth, sometimes in pleasure, sensual pleasure, he gets drowned, right? And when he gets drowned in this thing here, then that thing begins to manipulate him. So there's three things that manipulate man. Sometimes it's wealth, right? Sometimes it's woman. Sometimes it's ego. So these are three things that will manipulate that man. And wealth is at the first level, then second level is woman, and the third level is ego. Right? So the ego is the most difficult one. Wealth is easy to overcome. Woman is easy to overcome, sensual pleasure. But the thing that is most difficult is ego. Imamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah once giving a bayan. Let's see the hadith, right? Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. So Abu Dharr is asking, wa in zana wa in saraqa. Even if he steals, even if he makes zina, yes. So what's this? One is wealth, one is woman, isn't it? Wa in zana wa in saraqa. He shall go to Jannah. Sensual pleasure and wealth, right? But he'll still go jannat. But the one that is called this ego, man kana fi qalbi misqalu zarratin min kibrin la yadkhul jannah. An atom's weight of takabbur, and he can't go into jannat. Until he doesn't get act properly, but that kibr prevents him, the takabbur, the pride. And that pride is about the most difficult thing to remove from the heart. You talk to a person that he feels that, no, I don't have it. I don't have it. My heart is clean. Everybody feels that. But you don't realize that germs, that bacteria of takabbur is still in the heart. And it just needs an occasion for it to surface. It's there. But exposed to the situation, then you see the thing surfacing. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. You're eating, you're usurping the wealth, right? Usurping someone's wealth incorrectly. What are you doing really? You're filling up fire. But now someone may say, but I don't see the fire. But that wealth just needs the exposure. You're playing with petrol, right? I see you're playing with fire. Don't be saying that you're playing with fire. So the petrol just needs the right exposure. See what happens? Within seconds, it blows you off. Right? Just seconds. And so quickly, it destroys you. So the same here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكُونَ مُوَالِ يَتَامَ ظُلْمًا, right? It just needs that exposure, and that thing just explodes. So, this takabbur, right, we think we don't have it, right? But it's just for a little bit of an exposure, and you see that it's just surfacing. Just surfacing. It just shows itself. Now see how dangerous the thing is. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِي مِسْخَالُ ذَرَّةٍ. Now compare this hadith against the hadith. وَإِنْ زَنَا وَإِنْ سَرَقَ. If there's zina and they theft, then they bring the whole building down. Hey, what he did. But the takabbur that is in him, that pride and arrogance and that attitude that he's showing, that nobody feels anything about it. Nobody feels anything about it. And many times, people that are acquainted, they understand, right? But they won't show. Why they won't show is because man is either not familiar or either he will reject. And if he rejects, then sometimes his iman is on the line. So they don't bring it so much, but that's the problem. The takabur is the problem. There wasn't a spot in the sama, in the heavens, where shaitan didn't make sajda. There wasn't a spot. And he was called Iblis at the beginning. Azazil at the beginning. He had a good name. And then, what dropped him after that? So he was high rated, high ranking, offering his service to Allah Ta'ala. But then, what brought his failure? Absolute failure. Complete. To the extent that Allah Pak says, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعَنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Irreversible curse. Curse is irreversible. And then the same theme is repeated about 7 times in the Quran Sharif. This theme, you must see it carefully, this theme is one. And the other theme that is repeated in the Quran Sharif, خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِّن نُطْفَةٍ. See what you're born of, what you're made of, right? You think so much of yourself. خَلَقَكُمْ. But see, what was your beginning, what you were, and where you're ending up. One easy way, sometimes this thought in pass, but as the thought comes, I'll just mention it. One easy way to get that tawazu, you know, opposite of takabbur. You got takabbur, and you got pride and arrogance, attitude. And one easy way to bring in humility. Because humility is the step that elevates you. There's no humility, you can't get elevation. The extent of the humility brings about the exaltation. So much of humility, so much you go up. It's like a seesaw. You push on one side, and the other side picks up. So the more you bring about tawazu, humility, and the more the stick picks up. Right? And that takabbur will show itself when it's called the occasion. Al-Mawlana Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi was being visited by one Hakim, a doctor. So there was another doctor also, that was at the Khanqa. He came from Islam. So this Hakim that came to see Hazrat Mawlana Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi, he's now diagnosing, you know, this is your problem, right? So this doctor that was already in the Khanqa, he said, yeah, it's like that, definitely it's like that. So Wa said, tum se zabt nahi ho saka. You could not keep that within you, that I'm also a doctor, see? I also know what's going on. So I ask you, in most of these dawahs and all that, they go running here, there, all that, does it happen or not? Does it happen to good people also? I'm going to show that I'm also something. I'm going to give my 2 cents. Do we have that heart? No. I think there's an element of pride. Let me just keep quiet. Does it ever pass the mind? It doesn't even pass the mind. that there is an element of pride here, let me just keep quiet. I don't want to risk. So sometimes you press that button of pride, and then you have to pay for it afterwards. Then everything goes. Then your namaz is going. Your heart, it doesn't have the clarity. That khyal of the akhirat is not there. That motivation, that drive is not there. Where you lost? See, that one word. Recently I was reading Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah's bayan. Before that, let me talk about this antidote. Right? The antidote for pride. One easy antidote is, see, in the Quran, wherever you'll find a problem, then you must look around, you'll find a solution there also. Just near there you'll find a problem, the problem, and you find the solution. So when Allah speaks about pride and arrogance, then he's talking about خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ, made you of dust. So, an easy way to get the tawazu, abdiyat, fana'iyat, is to look at the ground, walking, etc. Not in such a way that you dent anybody, you bang anybody, careful of yourself, but let your eyes be focused on the ground. So this is where I came from. Mina khalaqnakum. See where you're thinking of. So when I'm of dust now, then what is the property of dust? What is the characteristic of dust? Am I fire or am I dust? And if I'm dust then what is the characteristic of dust? To be true to yourself, then you need to behave your characteristic. Otherwise, you're not true to yourself, you're not showing that value. Like, cement was supposed to bond, to bind things, right? But the cement is not binding, then you see, so it lost its property. So you're made of dust. When you're made of dust, then you are true to yourself if you are behaving according to the property that you're supposed to be showing. And if you're not, then, like I said, that cement, you say, no, it's a waste of time, the cement. Don't you say that? It's hard, it can't do its job. Would you want to take that thing? No. Why? Because it can't do the job what you want it to do. So if, by the same token, if man is not showing that level of characteristic and that value that is expected of him, can you call him a man then? And you can't call that person a man. He's something else now. He's not that man. So, first try and work out what was the characteristic of dust. Then you can progress thereafter. The dust, you smash it, you bang it, you trample on it, right? You build on it, do what you want. And that thing doesn't complain. It carries on. Carries on. So you made of that. خَلَقْ مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. You made of that. So think what you made of. Reflect. What you made of. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. And you're going back there. You came from the dust. You're going back to that dust. Everything, that means everything else is just a bluff. It's just an illusion. It's just an imagination. I got this, I got that. I go here, I'm flying this side here, I'm flying there. I got a green passport. So, everything else is just an imagination. It's an illusion, it's just a bluff. What are you after that? See, we go to the Kabristan, right? So, the general tendency is make a little bit of kulwallah, surah Fatiha, small dua, and move it. But what the hadith wants you to do? What does it want you to do? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُورُهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. So one is what we go and do there, and one is to try and work out what was the mansha of Rasulullah SAW, what he wanted. From this whole exercise to Kabristan, but what did he want? فَزُورُوهَا فَإِنَّا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. He wanted you to mourn to something else. You're escaping from it, but he wants you to mourn with that. So until and unless you don't mourn to your origins, then you're not the original man. Then you're the made-up man. And when you mourn to the original thing, then you're the real person. And when you are talking about the makeup, then you are made up. In here, illa ifkum muftara. You are a made up lie. You are a lie made up. You are false. See that? See the solution, huh? Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum. And then look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. One is, you looked at yourself, right? Then when you looked at yourself, you found that you are useless, hopeless, right? Good for nothing. That's what your original self, right? Useless, helpless, and good for nothing, right? Then it was the glory of Allah Ta'ala that just focused on you, that brought about the greatness, the excellence, the beauty. So it's not yours. That glory, the greatness, the beauty, the charm that's in you is not you. It's the glory of Allah Ta'ala that's just reflected in you. Others, what are you? As Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah says, that I went to the bath, you know. Normally the hadith says, mustn't go to the bath. But what I suppose, why there was a prohibition against going to a public bath is because I know one of our ulama of Thioban, and he was asked to go to a public bath. So he didn't know what it was, perhaps, and he accompanied them, but then he just says, no, I'm not going. So those Arabs that are taking him around, so they asked him, but why? See, we all go to the bath, wash ourselves, and why are you refusing? Have you got something that we don't have? Have you got something additional that you don't have? Now, the style was, you go to the bath, you undress completely, and then you're using the bath facilities. So he says, yeah, no, I've got something that you don't have. That's why I'm hiding it. So what's that you have got that we don't have? I've got shame. My shame is put. So, we're talking about Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi, and he says, giving the same story. He says, I went to that bath, right? So, maybe that bath was of a different style. So it's an individual cubicle that you can do your thing and come out. So, or if it's an individual thing, like, then it's like an individual toilet, like how you get a public toilet. So is there wrong in going to the public toilet? There's no wrong in that. But if it is that you have to expose your satar, then it's a different thing altogether. When I'm explaining all this to the students, then I don't like them to be going to a public bath in a swimming pool. So just to discourage them, right? Just to discourage them, I ask them, all of them, can anybody tell me that he went to the bath and didn't make pisap inside that swimming pool? Chacham will be getting upset now, but also a swimming pool there. Anybody? So every year that I ask, everybody's heads are down. So I tell you, I won't spy you, I won't talk about you, but anybody can tell me, guarantee me, that he dived inside and he came out without making pisap. But see, you know, that water is so clean, man. It's so clean and so pure. I mean, it's not pure. What you're taking is chlorine diluted with water. What you're taking in is chlorine. So where's the purification? And you know, that thing, you're not going to change the water all the time. Once in a year or something, you're going to change the water, right? So it's loaded with pisap. One person, second person, third person, 500 people, 500 people's pisap. So now you try and measure the water, compare the water to the Pisap, right? Let's just compare, right? Say 1,000 people went, right? And each person is giving off half a liter. How many liters inside? 500 liters. And all that is camouflaged with the chlorine. They said, hey, so pure, clean, and so clean. We must learn to accept realities. So you're talking of Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi, we just digressed a little bit. So Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi is saying, I went to that bath, right? And I say, perhaps it must have been a bath styled with a private cubicle, like how you have your public toilets, right? So I picked up that clod that was supposed to be rubbed on the body, you know, clod of sand, was clay, whatever, and I was rubbing myself. And as I'm rubbing myself, and the perfume was just flowing in my body. I'm rubbing myself, and the perfume was just coming out. So I'm in the bath with that clot of sand. And I'm asking, Ke tu muski ya abiri? What are you? Tell me, what are you? Are you musk or are you amber? Umber? What are you? What are you now? Tell me, where did you get this excellence? So he says, no. I'm dust, but for a long period, I stayed in the company of amber and musk. And the effect of my companion has been infused into me. See that? The effect of the company infused into me. Varna man khakam ke hastam. If you talk about me, I'm just dust. So he's identifying that good and the excellence is not of his own. That good and that excellence is borrowed, not his. Now that's the gist of life. That attributed to where it's supposed to be attributed. The failure that came to anybody is where he ignored Allah Ta'ala and looked at himself as an independent entity. When he moved away Allah Ta'ala, and he thought of himself to be an independent entity. So, the excellence that he finds in himself, he feels that it is self-achieved, my achievement. Qarun, what was any given? What was any given? But now, the problem with wealth is, when you get that wealth, and you're in the position of power, right? Then you think like, Man ashaddu minna quwwah, there's nobody like me. Now that's the point where you want to catch the stick now. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Remember, at that point now, you want to catch it. So this is the point where he said, what he said? Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. That Qawm Aad said, Man ashaddu minna quwwah. And what Qarun said, إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتُهُ عَلَىٰ إِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. This is my personal achievement, my knowledge. You see all this wealth, the glory that you see, where it comes from. So, خُدَا کو بھول کر کے کچھ نہ کہو, بھائی. See, this is about the worst thing that you can do is to forget Allah Ta'ala. لَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. It's about the worst thing. Now, why do you say it's about the worst thing? Understand these things in perspective. Reflect over the verses, then you understand. A simple illustration is, you came home, right? Hungry, Rosanna, right? 10th of Muharram, you have to eat. So, you prepare for a nice diet, savories, starters, main course, ending up, alright. But now, at that meal now, obviously, the wife is dishing the food. She's giving the food, but she's turned away. She's not looking at you. She's giving one-word answers. Right? She's ignoring you. She doesn't even sit next to you. She's totally ignoring. She's, her face is all flustered, right? Frowning. She's not talking. She's turned away from you. I ask you, will you enjoy that meal? What do you want to eat? Can you eat? So this is the meaning of panasiyahum. That Allah Ta'ala, you forgot Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala has forgotten you. In other words, He has ignored you. Not that Allah Ta'ala forgets. Ma kana rabbuka nasiya. Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget. But He has forsaken you. But if your wife forsakes you, how do you feel? Can you eat after that? Can you eat more than two morsels? You know, you have such a bond, but then, لا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله. You forgot Allah Ta'ala, and that's the consequence. Now, understand what's the consequence of Allah Ta'ala. The wife is a small thing. She can always be replaced. But you don't tell her this much, please. For that little bit of love that she showed, and if there's a detachment, then you become depressed. I ask you, which favor doesn't come from Allah Ta'ala? What doesn't come from Allah Ta'ala? The minutest of things and the greatest of things are from Allah Ta'ala alone, right? So can you find satisfaction in anything after that? Anything for that matter. Can you find the fulfillment? Can you find the satisfaction? Can you find the comfort thereafter? That is why now there is financial growth, right? But I ask whoever, right? But is that level of satisfaction coming with it? Happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, enjoyment, happiness. Is it coming? One youngster talking to me last night, you know, quite a healthy person, and he's particular about his food. But now he's coming on the right level. So he says, you know, that day they served mug, you know, and you know, a mug, I'm averse to it, you know. I'm totally averse to it. But you know, I relish that whole meal. I enjoy it so much. But you see, when you adopt that path of righteousness, right, فَلَنُحْيَنَّوْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. It's the promise of Allah Ta'ala, guaranteed, that I will make your life enjoyable. It's not the chops, it's not the steak, it's not the sausage, it's not whatever else. That doesn't have the satisfaction. The satisfaction is the one that's made it. He puts that satisfaction into that mug. And then voice to him, hey, you know, how satisfied, how much I enjoyed, I can't explain myself. But that little bit you strive to Allah Ta'ala, attributing things to the right place, and what Allah Ta'ala does to you. So Allah Ta'ala is warning, Nasullaha fanasiyahum. When they forgot Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala also left them. I say, when He left them, now they're getting all the pleasure of the world. Things of the world is coming to them. Things of the world, what they want, they're getting. But parallel to it, are they getting that level of satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness, enjoyment? Are they getting it? You know, that old example that they used to use, that bed is to give you a comfortable sleep, but can give you the sleep. So the material was to give you some comfort, but does it have the property to bring that satisfaction to you? That satisfaction and happiness is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So when you broke away from Allah Ta'ala, then that which was in His hand, He pulled it away from you. So let's see how far you want to go. It was in His hands, that sleep, that happiness, that enjoyment, that fulfillment, that pleasure was entirely in His hand. You went with all the stuff you went, and you forgot Him. When you forgot Him, now you got these things, but now do you have the satisfaction that came? So you see this pride. So I said, wa in zana wa in saraqa, right? That stealing, robbing, whatever, and number two is sensual pleasure. That is disgusting, it's evil, right? But the worst of the old sin is that pride and that ego. And my ego has been hurt. My ego has been hurt. And now people are crying over it, my ego. Let's see what happened to my ego. And that's the thing to work on, to break and bust that ego. But please, not of your own, don't you try and experiment these things yourself. Coming back to the Sheikh Sadi story here. So what he says, Man khakam ki hastam, I am still the dust. It is just the effect of the association that you see this beauty in me. You see this fragrance in me. You see this good in me. It's not of my own. It's the beauty of the association. And then who are we to claim? Who are we to claim? See, a Nabi is outstanding, right? In his whole life, in his mission, he is outstanding. You can't find a person like a Nabi, right? No person. Because a Nabi is not of your own choice. Nubuwwat is not of your own doing. You can become pious of your own, you can, right? Supplication, application, you can become pious. But Nubuwwat, does it come with supplication and application? So the thing that is distinct in the Nabi, what is the most distinct thing in the Nabi, is that Nubuwwat, that Nur of Nubuwwat, that Wahi of Nubuwwat, that makes him, he is being inspired all the time from Allah Ta'ala. That's the thing that brings the distinction in a Nabi from an ordinary person, that he is being inspired directly from Allah Ta'ala. See that? So you see the distinction where it comes from. It comes through that inspiration. And you can say that this is what Allah Pak says. You can say it exactly. And therefore, the Quran Sharif is the most authentic in all, from all the books and everything else. But the thing that is absolutely authentic is the Quran Sharif, it's the unchanged word. And therefore, no Muslim has got an iota of Iman will accept any type of a distortion of the Quran Sharif. Not one word, not one harf. Suddenly you get a question coming in, right? In place of Tha, he read a seen, Namaz is valid or not valid. Even the pronunciation, if you went on mark, they come and ask you, the Imam Sahib read like this, our Namaz is valid or not valid. So you see that wahi, that revelation, is so authentic that even the pronunciation you can't go off. So the pronunciation is a science on its own. The word is one thing, and the correct pronunciation is a science, what you call qiraat, tajweed, etc. It's a science on its own. So like the Quran has been preserved, the pronunciation is also preserved. And like the Quran Sharif has to be read correctly, the pronunciation also has to be right. See that? But then with all that, the glory, the beauty of the Quran Sharif, right? With all that, that wahi, that was the most magnificent thing. See, the hadith says, وَمَا مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ مَا آمَنَ بِهِ النَّاسِ. That every Nabi was blessed with a miracle, right? With a miracle. With something that will make people understand that this is from Allah Ta'ala. Allah wa ma utitu, and what I have been blessed with is wahi. So that makes me totally distinct from all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. What I have been blessed with is wahi. So the most distinct thing in a Nabi is the inspiration, the message that he's receiving directly from Allah Ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to get this type of a miracle because he is ursiltu ila kafatin nasi. I have been sent to mankind right till the end. So when I have been sent to mankind right till the end, then I have to be blessed with a wahi, with a revelation or something that will be a perpetual miracle. It's not just a miracle for that moment. It's a miracle till the end of time. And beyond time, it transcends time also. It's a miracle, but the miracle must go beyond time. Because his nubuwwat is till the end. When his nubuwwat is till the end, then the miracle that he's supporting, a miracle comes to support the Nabi. Nabi is making a claim, right? That I've been sent by Allah Ta'ala. So then,
people will definitely want to ask, alright, how do you support this? And he supports it with a miracle. Right? So now, when you're saying that this is from Allah Ta'ala, Islam is meant to remain till the end, then what's the miracle to support it? Then the miracle to support it is the Quran Sharif, unchanged word. Can you see that? So that's the most distinct thing in a Nabi. But then Allah Pak says, وَلَئِنْ شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلِكَ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلَيْنَا وَكِيلًا. In spite of you being our favorite, right? And in spite of this being the thing that's making you most distinct, right? But if it were our will, we could just deprive you of this. Take it away from you. And nobody can then, nobody can make a demand that why this has been taken away. In this world, if something has been taken away from you, you can make demands, right? You can appoint some legal team, some defense of yours, that this thing was mine and it's taken away from me, right? But then by Allah Ta'ala, لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا وَكِيلًا. You will have no defense in your support against us. Nobody. See that? So when, what Allah Pak is teaching us here is that the Nabi doesn't stand a chance to make a claim that this is self-achieved. Where do you stand a chance? Do you stand a chance then? Then your whole prosperity revolves around the point that I am nothing. That is why La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is kanzum min kanzil jannah. Kanzum min kunuzil jannah, right? It's a treasure of Jannah. But I will just say La hawla. Someone is yawning, La hawla. Mawla Usman Saab Kadwa, you are saying. Someone saw his Jammai, you know? Jammai, son-in-law. So he saw his Jammai. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So everybody is worried by it. There's a Jammai. And you think, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Oh, it came in the kitab. It came in the kitab. So which kitab? So they showed the kitab. So Jummai and Jammai is written the same way. Jummai is yawning, you know. But you all say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So he read it incorrectly. How he read the Jammai as Jummai. Jummai means yawning. So he's seeing his son-in-law, he's seeing, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You see, but the lesson here in this, is this, self-taught is not a reliable means of education. He went to learn himself, and what a big mess he made up. He took his son-in-law as a shaitan. He said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You see the mistake he made. You see, he's self-appointed. Today, that's a problem. Everybody's doing his own studies, making up his own mind. And the right way was by person to person, heart to heart. You listen to your elders, and then your juniors will listen to you, and so forth and so on. This is how this whole process will continue. But are you going to get it direct and see the discrepancy, see the mistake? See the verse, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. This is where you came from, this is where you return. And that is why there is so much of reward. You think of death 20 times, then you die as a shaheed. Now all these things can become very easy when you just look at the ground. It's where I came from here, I'm going just now here. I came from here and I'm going, I can't escape. إِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا. Allah is giving out, throwing a challenge. If you think that you can go beyond the zones of the heavens and the earth, try, go. لَا تَنْفُذُونَ. You can't go. You don't have the authority, you don't have the strength. You don't have the capability to do it. You don't have the capability to go. You know, death and life is such a qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. But we don't think about it. You know, with power and might, then we think that we are eternal, we are ever. But don't we realize, when we are in that state of nothing, then who infused the life? You know, with all the technology and artificial intelligence, now they say of artificial intelligence, right? robotic age they're talking of, right? So with all the robotic age, that artificial intelligence, I ask, with all the scientists put together, the, you know, the grand computers put together, but can they create life in a single soul? Yeah, they can say, you know, we've got a life support, right? But can that life support life? Can it give life? Is this there now? Just to bluff you a little bit, right? You're extending the person. So, they're putting those chemicals, etc., and you're seeing some responses. Eyes are twitching, hand is moving or something, so it's life. So, all this thing was carrying on about 15, 20 years ago. So I called an old student. Now he's a, what do they call it? You know, that to give you that medication to make you numb, what do they call it? Anesthetic, yeah, anesthetic. So he's an anesthetic. The old students, I call him. He says, it's not a guarantee that the person is alive. So then why is there the reaction? So, no, that's a reaction of the chemicals that is pumped into the body. Eyes is twitching, something is moving here. So we are getting bluffed. But then I said, then why are they doing this? I asked him, then why are they doing this? You know, it's a money-making scheme. If we send him out tonight now, hey, for every night he's on the machine, we're getting 10,000. We can't lose the business like that. So, whether the person is dead or not dead, they're not worried about that. They're worried about the business. So you keep you long in the machine, and every day, how much we're coining from you. Put this chemical, that chemical, we get a 20,000 rand package. Hey, doctor, stop, just make the person alive, man. See that? So 20 times you think about death, and it's so easy. Just look at the ground. Walking anywhere, going, walking. But that's a real, it's a reality you can't escape, you can't avoid. And there's no time limit to it. Finally a student, right, he's hearing the Fajr Namaz, Bishara, he was crying. Couldn't control himself. So they asked him after Namaz, what happened? He said, my younger brother, he must be about 21 or something, so his younger brother, just had the meals, and went and sat in his couch, and gone. At that young age, I say, is there anything more uncertain than death? Uncertain. The time is so uncertain, you don't know when he's going to come, how he's going to come, to who he's going to come. But then we're totally oblivious, we don't want to think about it. Vishnu was also saying in the top masjid, you know. Not only oblivious, but we became averse to it. Someone tells you, you know, I'm going for Umrah, I got the hearse, I'm just parking your house for. I'll be back in 1 week. You can drive around, you know, if you want to drive around. Right. But the next person comes around and he says, you know, I got a Ferrari and I got a Lamborghini, right? Or I got a whatever else, right? And I just want to park it in your yard. And I'll be out for a month or something and you can use it in the time. Say, yeah, I'll keep it. So why are we so averse? That hers is not death, it's death. But we don't want to even reflect, we don't want to think about death, we don't even talk about it. Whereas it's a stark reality, it must come to you. When it must come to you, Azadi Rahmatullah, you should say, that what you're going to be confronted with, what you're going to be confronted with now, then don't close your eyes. It's going to confront you. It's going to confront you, then think now, right, I'm in the grave now, then what? What's going to happen now? Put yourself into the predicament. Now you don't even think about that, so you become averse, you are panic stricken, you're struck up with panic, depression, despondency, you see something like that. Why? You don't even allow your mind to go in that direction. You're going to be confronted, so put yourself in the real position. You're going to be there now, you're there alone with Malakul Maut. Now what? Ibrahim alayhi salam had asked Malakul Maut, I'd like to see you in original form. So he showed himself in two forms. He showed himself. So he showed himself when he's confronting a pious person. So Ibrahim Islam's response was, if there was nothing else for a person to go through, this was too much. So the Malakul Maut comes in such a beautiful form. Such a beautiful form. So attractive, so beautiful, so great, so glorious. He says that if there's nothing else in the world, nothing else, then this was more than enough. See that. But then, that requires that same tawazu, that abdiyat, just do it for Allah Ta'ala. Just do it for Allah Ta'ala and see what He does for you after that. Like I say, see, there are some realities that you have to admit. I said that life, who is infusing that life? Who infuses that life? Can anybody give me a scientific explanation that who gives that life? Nobody can give it. So you understand that life is beyond your control. It's beyond your intelligence. It's beyond your technology. It's beyond. So there is someone above all this that's infusing that life. Now do you relate? Do you identify? Do you try and recognize and identify? Now man is standing, sitting, so nice, comfortable, relaxed, healthy. Doctors have all said, oh, he's very healthy. And then in the next moment he's gone. Don't you hear the stories? Don't you hear the stories? He's relaxed, comfortable, strong as ever. And in a moment he's gone. So the thought of death brings you to reality, brings you to your end. You want to relate, right? And you understand that I'm going now. So the most sensible thing is then that what preparations have I made for that? I'm going down. So the right thing is then what? Then if I'm going down, what preparations, what arrangements I'm making? You hear of anybody going for Umrah or Hajj and without any finance, anything. You have anybody? And say for example he's got nothing. No money at all, right? How does he feel at that time? Does he feel secure? Does he feel clear? So even for the 2 weeks that you're out there, you want to say take so much that you don't want to feel insecure. You don't want to feel uneasy. Just for the 2 weeks. Here is such a life that there's no reverse. But what have you taken for that? وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. So Allah Pak says, you want the provision, then the best provision is abstinence. Guarding yourself. What? Abstinence, guard yourself. That's the best. Guard yourself. So that means the whole world has been designed for what? It's designed for abstinence, for you to learn to abstain. For you to learn to abstain. Not for you to take and just move freely, randomly, no. For you to abstain. So that's the whole design of the world. Right? Abstain. Right? Enjoy within limit, but abstain. After that, just abstain. You don't become a victim. Don't become a victim. Don't become a target. Don't become a victim. See, there's two enemies. All of us talk of enemies, right? But who's the real enemy? One is فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. There's two enemies that you've got. One is this world. That's your big enemy. It's got all these temptations, a lot of things here, right? So that's your real enemy. That's a big deceiver. It will deceive you. In your thinking, in your understanding, in your reasoning, everybody is going to deceive you. So that's why my Rumi Rahmatullah says, see, it's different sciences, and different sciences got different guides. He says this nafs can only be straightened at the hands of a sheikh. He's saying it clearly. Right? At the hands of a sheikh, it comes straight. Otherwise, you try what you want, you can't straighten it. You may get one in a billion who's just straight and upright. But that's one in a billion was شَازُكَ الْمَعْدُومِ. And that isolated case is an isolated case. You don't use it as a rule. One friend of mine went to one shopping area, right? So he filled up a form. He asked him to fill that form, he filled that form. Some competition they were running, he went and filled the form, right? So he's doing his shopping, grocery shopping, and before he knows it, there's an announcement, so and so, come here, got a surprise for you. So he went at the counter, 2 million rand buck he won. Now, can you say, can you use it as a rule, go to the shop there, and then you'll win a bucky and you can carry on. It's a 1 in 1 million chance, isn't it? 1 in 2 million, 10 million chance. He wanted, that was his luck. Allah was wording like that. But now, can you use that as a rule? You can't use that as a rule. The rule is one thing, you follow the rule, inshallah, it'll bring you to the right ends. But say, no, I'll come right. No. It's not going to happen. And what is stopping you at that time is your pride, you know. You know, I have to tell him now, report my mistakes, my weaknesses, I have to accept, and what he'll think of me, and you know, he may despise me, he may think nothing of me. So I'd rather just keep quiet, don't say anything. So these are the thoughts of Shaitan. وَلَا يَهُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُ. One is the world is going to deceive you, and one is Shaitan is going to deceive you, going to play in your mind. Otherwise you should say this repeatedly. He says, مَنْ لَا شَيْخَ لَهُ فَشَيْخُهُ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. You don't have a spiritual guide, a mentor, then who's your mentor is Shaitan. You know, 101 different type of thoughts in your mind. Oh, do this, because of this, because of that. Now he is now the manipulator. He's manipulating. He's reading you. Now, this system was in vogue from the beginning. From Ali radiallahu anhu, from the Sahaba Kiram, carried on. So they understood that they need a guide. They need someone to guide them. So he can only guide you if you ask him. If he doesn't, you don't ask him, is he an alimul ghaib? He may be an alim of some of the aib, right? But can you say he's an alimul ghaib? Some of the aibs he may know, right? He may see it. But can he be an alimul ghaib? No. See that? You've got two enemies. The dunya is your enemy. Fattaku dunya. See that? It's your enemy. And then Allah speaks about Shaitan. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Then treat him as an enemy. He's your enemy, then treat him as he's the thing that's who manipulates your mind, who puts the thoughts in your mind, the wasawis, etc. And the whole surah Allah Pak is revealing for that. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. So he's playing with your mind, because you didn't connect yourself. You didn't connect yourself now, so you don't have a defense line, you don't have a barrier line. See, Allah created the system, He created the world with systems. Right? So you need to have a defense line, a barrier line you need to have. Now you got no barrier line, He shoots straight at you. And then each person, Shaitan works with each person according to that person's status. The businessman, he'll work with him. Through business, he'll work with him. A professional person, to the profession, he'll work with him. And give him ideas, right? He'll throw him down, but with ideas he will throw him down. Throw him down like this. And the hafiz, he will throw him down with ideas accordingly. And alim, he'll drop him down with ideas accordingly. He'll put all these type of thoughts into him. And then, sometimes it is him preventing, taking you to the wrong. And sometimes it is, he is preventing you from that which is better. He doesn't want you to see the better thing, wants you to keep you right down. So he puts all these type of thoughts into your mind so that he can control you and you can't gain that access. That's why Allah Pak says, you know, that Yawm al-Hasra, on the day of Qiyamah, that day will be a day of remorse and regrets. For the Jahannami, obviously, but even the Jannati, the Jannati says, hey, this person did the right thing. He had a sheikh. He wasn't wasting his time. He was doing the right things. Now see how he's escalated. That sheikh doesn't mean you just got a sheikh. No. Then you're treating the sheikh as a sheikh. You don't say, I got a doctor now, and then don't visit him. Got a family doctor, then any small thing, big thing, you go and refer to him, right? That's called a family doctor, right? But now here, you say, I got a sheikh now, and that you left it to that. Does it work? Then you refer small things, big things. Shaitan is putting this in my mind, this thought is coming, what should I do here? Obviously, in spiritual matters, worldly matters, you do your own thing. Provided, antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum. Dunya matters, how to run your business. Yes, what is halal and haram, you ask the Nabi. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how to run a business now, whether you must open a barber shop or a butcher shop, you think about it.